during the with Kelsey and Dallas here. Only one time does success appear in the Bible. You might as well just look at it. That's in the book of Joshua. That's in the Old Testament. Right after Deuteronomy. This is actually an awesome graduation charge, and I'm just going to have to use it next time I get called upon at school, because this is Moses. Deuteronomy is the second telling of the law, and this is Moses telling Joshua, this is what you're going to have to do. I mean, this is God speaking to Joshua, giving him a charge. Moses is about ready to depart. You know, once you graduate, you're departing one stage in your life, going on to the next. What is going to determine your future and your success is going to be what you've learned in the past. Okay? Moses knew about God. He had a covenant with God. And he's telling Joshua here, Joshua 1, verses 8, this book of the law, don't get stuck on the law. In other words, this is just what they've heard. They've heard the promises of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. When you do that, for then you will make your way prosperous. What are we talking about? Prosperity this morning. And then you will have good. So what determines your success is how you prosper. And that determines, do you have a covenant with God? Because if you're hooked up with God, you're going to prosper. If you're hooked up with Him, you're going to prosper. Amen. Don't unhook. Stay hooked up to the chariot. Yep. Stay hooked up to God, and you will be successful. Don't let all these other things determine or define what success is. Like Colette said, success is having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because love never fails. What determines success? Whether you fail or not. Jesus. You're a success. Yeah. Going somewhere to help somebody else be a success. That's a good scripture to open up with this morning. This goes right along with the message I'm going to conclude. Last week, can somebody tell me what we were talking about? Uh-oh, we're going to have to preach that last week. Trouble. Making it through trouble. Somebody heard trouble, somebody said, no, we're making it through trouble. That's good. That was the title, Making It Through Trouble. Is trouble going to come?
Yeah.
Don't be praying for it. A lot of times you hear people, Christians, say, you need to pray. You need to pray for patience. No, you don't. You need to pray for God's wisdom, because trouble is going to come. That's when your patience is tried. Because the definition of patience is endured faithfulness. In other words, you've got to endure something. You've got to stand strong for a longer period of time. That's patience. That's standing on the promises of God until you see it come to pass. Whether you go through the fire, and we're talking about whether you're going through the water. And that's actually our scripture. I remind us about Psalm 66:12, if you were just there. This was the Israelites. You know, they had been through the flood. No, I'm sorry, not the flood. The Red Sea. Water. Let me just read the verse here. Psalm 66:12. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire. Think about the Hebrew boys. The three Hebrew boys. And we went through water. But you brought us out to a rich fulfillment. New King James. You brought us out to a wealthy place. See, the promised land is a wealthy place. Egypt was a land of not enough. That's the world. Egypt represents the world. There's a reference to this in Isaiah. If you want to flip on over to that same scripture here in Isaiah, you know, the Bible tells us by two witnesses, let a thing be established. Isaiah said in chapter 43, verses 1 through 2, referencing to Psalms 66:12. You know, we've heard history has a how would you say it? History pretty much repeats itself. You know, wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said, you're going to have wars. History is going to repeat itself. But the Word of God never changes. No matter what happens, the Word of God can still be your answer in that trouble.
Yes. Amen.
Whether it be famine, whether it be sickness, whether the Jesus is coming again. He said there's going to be great tribulation, great trouble, Tammy. Great trouble, great trials are awaiting. Yep. But you're not of the world. You're in it, but you're not of it. You're going through the fire. You're going through the water. It's time to walk on it. Or it's time to come out not smelling like smoke. That's God's covenant to His children. That's the promises that we have. And Isaiah mentioned to it, says 43 verses 1 through 2, but now thus says the Lord, who created you. He is our creator. He has. I don't care what the world says. I came from God, my creator. I was created in His image and in His likeness.
Yes.
Oh, Jacob, and don't argue with somebody that says there ain't. Just tell them what you believe and leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not debaters. We're believers. We believe in our God. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, Brenda, and you are His. That's what the Word says. You are His. Your name's written. Jesus said it's written. When you pass through the waters, what did it say, Reed? Did you say when you drowned in the waters? It says when you pass through the waters. My mom never swam. Fear of water. I need to take to her this scripture. You'll float, Mama, believe me. You might put a little effort to it, but you'll float. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Sebia in your place, since you were precious in my sight. God says you're precious. He says you're precious. Don't let anybody else determine or take that away from you, what God has said. That's trouble. When somebody says what you know God says you are, and somebody says contrary to that, that's trouble. I'm just going to define trouble for you a little bit. And if I don't hit you, you let me know, because there's a lot of trouble out here. Difficulty is trouble. Something's difficult. It ain't easy. Somebody's bothering you. Somebody's touching you, the kids. Quit touching me in the back seat going on a trip. Trouble. That's trouble. That's a trouble trip. It's inconvenient for me at this time. It's inconvenient for me. You know, we have convenience stores. We call them convenience stores. Trouble is inconvenient. That's when the convenience store is closed. You needed to get something right there. You got there and you see a note on the wall. Had to step out to such and such, such. I'll let you fill in the blank. That is inconvenient. That's trouble. You're the only store open, and I need this. Trouble. Then you start to worry. Well, now what am I going to do? Where am I going to go get it now? See, then there's trouble added on to trouble. Now you're starting to worry about this situation. And this just goes loud on. Then you're concerned about it. Concern is trouble. You're concerned about it. Overly concerned about your kids, your grandkids. Trouble. Then that can lead into anxiety. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing, no thing. But in all things, let your requests be made known unto God. And if He hears, we know He hears.
Yes.
According to His promises, it's yes and amen. Don't be anxious for it. Just trust Him for it. Believe Him for it.
That's right.
Praise Him for it. Thank Him for it. And then be waiting for it. Amen. Be expecting it. Don't get anxious about it, because that's trouble. Then you can be distressed. Distressed. And then you can have stress in your life. That's trouble. And then all this can lead to, the big word, strife. That's trouble, because that's the devil's territory. Because the Bible says where envy and strife is, there's evil, all kinds of evil, every evil work. We're just opening up the door to the enemy. And that doesn't please God, because He wants us to prosper. He wants us to be in the promised land, prospering. He doesn't want the cankerworm coming, eating our crop. That's the devil. He comes to eat the seed, destroy it. And he wants to get to the seed. A lot of times, you know, he's destroying the outside, but he's trying to get to the seed. Because if he can destroy you, he's got your generations. He's stealing your success. Agitation. Be agitated. A washing machine, that thing that does all the things to the clothes, is called an agitator. I know because I work on them. That thing's bringing trouble to those clothes, making them clean. Trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. Some of them was more loud and some of them was quiet. You can't, a lot of times you can't hear the trouble like you could on the older ones. You could hear them put them at the back of the house and still hear the trouble in them. I've got a washing machine that shakes my pictures on the wall. I can hear trouble. That's in the spin cycle. In the spin cycle. That's agitation. You can be agitated. That's trouble. Harassment. Somebody's troubling you. They're harassing you. Not only have you ran into trouble, now they're troubling you. Which can be the root word of hassle. Unpleasantness. Sometimes I walk in my house and there's an unpleasant fragrance of these smelly things you plug into the wall. Some of them smell good, but sometimes you can hit that unpleasant fragrance. I have to go unplug it because I can't, you know, if it's smelling like bacon or eggs, pancakes, if it's pound cake cooking, those are pleasant fragrances. I can inhabit those fragrances. But the other ones, sometimes I just got to unplug them. I got to leave the house. But to somebody else, it might be a pleasant aroma. Then it becomes a burden. That can become a burden. Trouble. We got to sit down. We got to have a conversation. We got to work this thing out. You know, we just got to change the odor here. We got to change the aroma of the atmosphere. Because if not, then comes vexation. Constantly. Then you become vexed with it. And you just vexed. Lot thought he could stand in a place of ungodliness and it not affect him. It couldn't. The Bible tells us not to surround ourselves. Evil communication corrupts good manners. God said it. It's true. Lot took the wrong path. That wasn't the path to success. He had the path. He was following Abraham. He had a covenant with God. That was the success story. But he still chose that wrong path. But God still had mercy. Still saved him out of that because he had a heart for God. But he was being flesh led. He needed a good teaching on divine guidance right there, didn't he? That was not a divine way to go. So let's look. That's just a couple of definitions. I hope I hit the one that's troubling you this morning. We could talk about finances. We could talk about red ink in your finances. We could talk about ingrown toenails. We could talk about. So everybody's going right now. They're thinking about their trouble. We could make all. We could fill up Webster's dictionary of trouble. Amen. But let's write another book. Let's read another book where trouble happened. Just some examples, and we're going to go through these quickly. In Matthew, these are going to be some examples of trouble. Now, I didn't even list none in the Old Testament. I just did a word search of trouble in the New. I had enough in the New not even get into the Old. There's enough trouble in the New that I didn't have to step over to the Old Testament. But there was a lot of trouble since the beginning. Well, I'd actually say since after the fall. That's when the trouble came. His initials starts with a D. The devil. Actually, it started with the L. It started with Lucifer. It said pride was found in him. He changed his name. God called him Lucifer. Lucifer decided to call his name the devil. Trouble. He decided to change his name, not God. Right? God gave him that free will. New Testament. Let me get there. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And we're talking about some examples of trouble in the New Testament. We were born into trouble. First time we come out, the doctor's spanking us on the butt. There's our first whipping right there. Trouble. Somebody already hit me on my rear ear. Now I got something to say about it. Wah, I'm going to whine about that too. Trouble. Why do you got to spank you on the butt? Why can't he just give you a hug? Just hug that scream out of you. I'm not a doctor. I'll ask Kelsey one day. She'll have a definition of that. Why do they do that? Matthew 2, verses 1 through 3. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star." Jesus is a star. He ought to have a star in Hollywood, shouldn't he? "We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." That's why they were called wise men, because they was coming to worship Jesus. "When Herod the king heard this," was he wise? Now it says he was troubled. Why? This could be one of your examples. Fear of competition. Somebody's coming after your position of authority. He was a king. Always stay humble. Let God exalt you. Even if somebody's coming after, I mean, it's a good thing. You want people here at the church wanting to know what you know, drawing upon you, because you got to train others. I feel like I feel good when I leave here. I've got other people I can depend on. I know their spirit because they're like me. We're training. We're making disciples just like Jesus. We're his disciples. So that when I walk out of here, the same spirit's here. Same people here doing the same thing. Not the same way, but the same thing. Same foundation. Paul said, don't build upon another foundation. Build upon Christ. So don't get in trouble if somebody's coming after your position. That just means if they get it, you're going up somewhere. Going up in that arena, it might not be there. It might be doing something a whole lot easier and you making a whole lot more money and being a whole lot more happier. See, God knows the outcome. All I know, I want to focus on the income. I'm not talking about the money. Listen to me. I'm talking about the Word coming in. His promises. That I want to focus on my heart. Because there is the success is in me. It's in Christ. Okay? So don't worry about competition. You notice I said fear. There's no peace. There's no promise of God in fear. Perfected love casts out fear. So we're supposed to keep fear out because Christ on us is perfected, matured love on the inside of us. Cast that out. Cast that thought out. Go on. Matthew 14:26, another example of trouble. 14:26. And right there before there, I just kind of passed over that. Another trouble. Just think about when John the Baptist got beheaded. That was his cousin. You get that report. That's trouble. And that's troubling you. That's going to bring some stress. That could bring anxiety. Man, this was beheaded. And John was young. He's at least 30 years old like Jesus. Right there in his prime of life. Snatched, beheaded. There's beheadings going on right now in this world. Thank God it's not here like it is in other places, but it shouldn't even be there. It's not God's will. That's the devil. That's his teaching. Don't even think there could be gods in any of that. Because God is love. Love doesn't behead you. Love blesses you. Lays down, you're ready to lay down your life. That's what love does. Matthew 14:26. And when the disciples saw him, Jesus, walking on the sea, they were troubled. And they went so far as to say something about the trouble. They were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost, it's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. This is Jesus, who had just taught them the whole day. I'm thinking it was the sower sowing the word. He was teaching them about the kingdom of God. And now they're crying out for fear, troubled, because they're seeing him walk on water. Same Jesus, but he's walking on water. Fear of impossibilities can bring trouble. Something impossible. We shouldn't be fearful of that. We should be able to, we need to be embracing that. Doing impossible things. Jesus said, the works that I do, you're going to do, and greater works. That means impossible. I can't do it. This is one of those works right here. I never could preach the gospel when I was out lost in the world. Never even thought about doing this. Would even shy away from it if asked to do anything standing in front of people. But God saw success on the inside of me.
Yes.
God actually put the success there.
Amen.
And all I had to do was find Him. Find God, find success.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take years and years and years to get you from where you need to be to where you need to go. Just follow Jesus. Because you'll see, when Jesus got in the boat, you read different Gospels, it says they were at the other side. I mean, we're talking about they were halfway across the lake with a storm going on, hadn't gotten anywhere, toiled there all night, 6 or 8 hours in this storm. But when Jesus got in the boat, immediately they were at the other side, translated. We're getting ready to go I'm not sure the name of our boat. It's a cruise boat. But just think about that. If I could go from here to there, just like that, be translated out of my trouble. Just like that. Out of trouble. Remember the game that's called Trouble? Anybody y'all remember the old Trouble game? You're always trying around and knock somebody else off the board. Trouble. Give them trouble. It's a loud game. And it wasn't a quiet game. Trouble's loud. Pop, 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 pop. You're trying to get home. You're trying to get all your men home and knock everybody off the board so they can't get home. That's trouble. Trying to make trouble for somebody else. Mark chapter 3. Mark talked about some trouble. Showed us some trouble. Mark chapter 5. What was the title of this message read? Making it through trouble. Mark showed us in chapter 5, verse 35. And we've all experienced this, and as long as we're here on this earth, we're going to go through these experiences. But just like Terry said, let me read the scripture first. Mark 5:35. This is where Jesus had just ministered to the lady with the issue of blood, came, touched him, received total healing in her body. That quick, Michelle, reached out and received her healing. Don't wait on the preacher to talk about it. Go get it. You know where to get it. It's in Jesus. It's in the anointing. It's in Him. You go get it. I'm still saying, you come to church. You come here. But you know what I'm saying. You don't wait on me. You go get it. Verse 35, and we agree with you. And we praise and thank you when you get it. The Pharisees, they were indignified when somebody got healed. They're like, 'cause they didn't come to them. Self-righteous. Now, they went to God. They went to Jesus. While he was still speaking, some of the rulers of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Death in a family. There's trouble. To a spouse, to a son that got in an accident. Just all kind of deaths out here. We have to be careful to where we don't get that grief and that person gets so much into grief that they can leave this earth. They just get bound by grief. That's death can cause trouble. It can cause grief. But the promises of God can get us through that. Even like Terry said, when Jesus was walking, if it's an untimely death, we're called to raise the dead. Now, we need to have a specific word from the Holy Ghost, but we have the power on the inside of us. We have Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. And you can Google it. Google Andrew Womack. He raised his son from the dead. He'd been dead for 4 hours in the morgue, toe-tagged, blue. Gets a call in the middle of the night from his other son. That his other son, I'm not sure the names, I think it was Peter. Peter's dead, Dad. I'm sure they didn't go into detail. They were in Colorado. They were 2 hours away. Maybe 3 hours away. Probably 1.5 hours. Andrew said, trouble came. That's trouble coming. All these things going through his mind. Now, he's a preacher. He's the teacher of the word. He said him and his wife agreed right then. God started showing him prophecies that people had spoke over his son of things that he was going to yet do. So what trouble came, fear tried to grip him, but then faith, the Holy Ghost spoke louder and said, no, you're just like he spoke to Paul, you're going to Rome, Paul. God showed Andrew prophecies of his son. He's going here and he's going to do that. And joy came. Him and his wife agreed. They didn't speak any death. They just agreed right now, this is going to be the greatest miracle in our ministry, that our son's going to be raised from the dead. And they drove in and got with Andrew there, his other son. He said, Dad, I don't know what happened. He said, about 2 minutes, 3 minutes after I talked to you, Peter stood right up in the mortuary, set up.
Hallelujah.
Andrew said there was no brain damage. He said, other than what, just normally his normal son. No brain damage. And he has a granddaughter today. Because he believed when trouble came, Jesus said, fear not. Fear not. The girl shall live. Fear not. So we have a choice to make. Luke 10:38, verses 42. I'm going to try to speed up here a little bit. These are just some examples. I want us to see in the New Testament. And these are, if it happened to them, and this was in the ministry of Jesus and his disciples, trouble's here. I thought I had trouble with the lawnmower, Terry. I just have trouble with teenagers. That perfectly good lawnmower is just out of gas. But, I mean, his truck. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. I thought I had trouble, but I didn't have as much trouble as I thought I had. Just had an empty tank of gas. Luke 10:38 through 42. It happened as they went, Jesus went, he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister who was called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Had her notepad out, Terry. Heard the word, took some notes, was going to preach her a sermon next Sunday in the synagogue. But Martha, you know, we have Martha Flower on our Martha Flower, Martha Silk Rising Flower. See, she's the busybody. She's the cooker. That might be where that name comes from. I don't know. But Martha was distracted with much cooking. She was doing flour flowing around in the kitchen, biscuits to make. Jesus is here. Got to take care of all this stuff. And she approached Jesus and said, came to Jesus now and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I'm doing all this work by myself. Therefore, Jesus, tell her to help me. Commanding the Lord what to do. I guess it's her house. She figured, sometimes you run across some women, that's mama's house. She tell you what to do when you walk in. Take your shoes off. Go wash your hands. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. I'm sure he didn't say it in the tone that she had. Martha, Martha, you are worried. I'm sure it's shown on her face and her reflection. You're worried. And troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. See, all this trouble, all this stuff, but Mary chose the best thing. That was at the feet of Jesus. The word, she was receiving the word. Said, nobody can't take that word from you. Let them have the trouble. Take all that trouble. You can have it. That ain't Jesus anyway. It's the devil. It came from him. We got the word of life, peace, joy. There ain't no trouble in joy. No trouble in joy. John, let's look and see what John said. Let's look at some of the trouble John had. Just taking you right through the Gospels. John 12:27. You're thinking about, is that all he's going to talk about is trouble? Sometimes that's all Christians ever talk about is all the trouble they have, right? We talked about, they write songs about it. John 12:27. This is Jesus. Jesus said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this very hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Trouble was hitting Jesus. This was not trouble in his spirit. If you look that word up, his soul is the word psyche. That's where we get psychologists. What do they deal with? They deal with the mind. See, Jesus was, he was troubled in his mind and his emotions because he's getting ready. He's already had a picture of what he's going to have to go through. Now it's come to, it's in the very hour. You know, talk to somebody that's on inmates row, and I've heard a couple testimonies of people that are born again, but they come to that point to where they got Christ. They come to that hour, they can endure it because they're ready. But you take somebody on inmate road that doesn't know where they're going, you bring them to that hour, go in there and ask them some things. I bet it'd be very morbid, some things they'd be thinking about. That they were going to have to die this very hour. And Jesus, his soul was troubled. And what I tell you last week, when you're in trouble, don't go to your friends. Because Jesus went to his friends 3 times, and what were they doing? Sleeping right through. The master was in trouble. All these 3.5 years, when they had trouble, he was there ministering to them. Now he needed them. Don't count on your friends. You count on God, who neither sleeps nor slumbers. Right? He's up, Michelle, 24/7. He's never, it's a convenience store that's always open. He doesn't put a sign on the door that says, be back in 5 minutes. And there's one more scripture here in John 14 while you're there. Go over a couple of chapters, John 14, 1. Jesus was having trouble, but then he said to his disciples, and we know this, he said to them, after he told them he was going to have to leave, he said, let not your heart be troubled. And he was talking about their spirit, because he knew they was going to have trouble. Because Peter said, Lord, well, you know, I'm ready to die for you. I'll take up the sword for you, Lord. And he looked at Peter and said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. See, Jesus knew things by the Spirit of God. But he also knew by the Spirit that Peter would preach on the day of Pentecost. So he knew that. And he told them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That'll preach right there. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. When Jesus says something, this covenant, he's got a mansion waiting for me in glory. I might as well get used to it here on the earth now. So, Lord, thank you that you're enlarging my territories, giving me a bigger house. Believe for the big now. You're going to live in one there, right? Get a vision of the one you got in heaven. And then when you step into the one God has before you here, it'll just be just right. It might not be a big, big house. And for you, it might be a cabin on 3 or 4 acres in the woods, up in the mountains somewhere. That's your mansion maybe here. See, we're not looking at size. We're looking at what fits you. What's on the inside? What do you like to do? Larry might not like to go fishing in the Trout Creek. He might like to be at the beach. So you might have him a condo at the beach. See, it depends on where you want to go, what you want to do. I'm going to have me a couple mansions in heaven because I like to go to the beach and I also like to go fishing. It says mansions. He said, ain't that what it said? Wait a minute. Let me read that again. In my Father's house are many mansions, plural. I got 2 or 3 up there. And Jesus said it's so. Let not your heart be troubled. What's our answer to trouble? God. God is not the troublemaker, but he's the trouble breaker. So he's not the troublemaker, but he's the trouble breaker. He destroys trouble. They tried to kill Jesus, throw him off a cliff many times. Trouble. Jesus would just disappear. God would cloak him. Anybody watch Star Trek? Got 1, 2? You know, the Romulans, they have that cloaking vessel. Sherry doesn't know what I'm talking about. It goes invisible. When it's cloaked, you can't see it. God just cloaked, put a cloak of invisibility on Jesus. He walked right through the crowd that day. Trouble in your house? Look for God to cloak you with his glory. With his glory. See, the world can't see his glory. You just disappear in his glory. Amen? In that glory cloud. In that glory cloud. Just disappear in the presence of God. 2 Corinthians 1 through 10. Talk about a man who'd been through some trouble. the Apostle Paul was speaking to a troubled church, those Corinthians, to the church of God. Well, first of all, let's go to verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all. Help me. Comfort. Is comfort trouble? They make blankets, they call them comfortable. Comforter. I can't even say it this morning. Man, comfort. That ain't trouble. That's peace. Next thing you know, you're snoring, you're sleeping. God does this. The Father of lights does this. Verse 4, who comforts us in all our trouble, tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others. Forget about your trouble, and it'll disappear. Help somebody else in their trouble, and God takes that burden off of you. That's the way you reap what you sow. How quick you want that trouble? I heard Kenneth Copeland say this. It was kind of funny about giving. He said that, Lord, you know I've got bills to pay. I just don't understand sometimes when I got, you know, we've got this mega ministry, things are happening, we've got things, and it's just like you're just right there, right on time when that bill needs to be paid. Lord, why wouldn't the money be here a week in advance? And he just said, you know, God answered you real quick. He said, well, Kenneth, he said, if you go out here and bless everybody just as soon as I tell you like that, it wouldn't take me as long to bless you. And he's like, yes, sir, I got it. I got it. In other words, when God says do something, just do it. Yeah. Mary said, whatever he says, do. Just do it. Just do it. Boom. He said that took care of that problem. Mm-hmm. There, God was paying in advance. In advance. Just because that one just minor adjustment right there. That we may be able to comfort others who are in trouble with the comfort with which... Now, we don't comfort them with our troubles. Oh, sister, sit down. Let me tell you about the troubles I got. No, then you just add to the trouble. He says here, trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Jesus is the one that gets us out of the trouble. Amen. See, Paul's going to tell him about all these things. He's been in the trouble, but he, in Christ. God sent me an angel. God healed my body, and I got to go to the king of that city and preach. Got him healed. And got to sail to Rome in a boat paid for with money in my pockets. See, that's the way God, what the devil comes and try to work for evil. God, you do it his way, he'll turn around and work it for good. If you're believing in his promises, trusting in his word. Paul says, now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation for others and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which also we suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, Paul says, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will be partakers of the consolation. The trouble's coming, but Jesus has already went to the cross. He suffered. He died, but God raised him from the dead. God's going to raise you out of that trouble. Trouble's coming, but stay in Christ. Stay in hope. Stay in faith, and you're coming out of the trouble. Be patient. Patience is not twiddling my thumbs. Patience is speaking those promises to myself, meditating, going back to Joshua, meditating the promises of God, then saying something. Forward march to the children of Israel. We're going to the promised land. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. You got a vision that's dying? It's not dead. It has no expiration date because God is the resurrection and the life through Jesus Christ, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he still will deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. It doesn't matter what we're going through. Jesus went through it.
Yeah, that's right.
He went through it all. He says he was tempted in every way in our body the same way, except without sin. Except without sin. He did it so that we could go through that problem victorious. knowing we have the promises of God, he's getting me out of this trouble. Or we can even divert the trouble. If it's coming because of something I haven't done that somebody else is trying to do to me, put up a shield of faith. It can be diverted. But God says, don't be mocked. Whatsoever you sow, you reap. If you sowed some trouble, it's coming, but go back to your knees. Lord, forgive me. 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins, your faults, one to another. Get it under the blood, get up and go on. You took care of that trouble. God is merciful. Be merciful, Lord. We talked about Wednesday. Be merciful to me, Lord, a sinner. I messed up. I'm not going to lie. There's things I messed. The Bible tells us not to. Don't think that we don't have no sin. Because he that's supposed to do good and don't do it, that's considered sin. What did I not do yesterday? Let me get my notepad. My wife said do that. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do it as quickly as I should. Sin, trouble. But God is greater than the trouble. Just confess it, go on. He'll smooth it out. He'll smooth those things out. That's his business. Don't you try to fix it up. Not your nature. I'm just saying, yeah, you sin good. Straighten it up. And he will. It might take a little bit of time now because you started it. You started the trouble. Now he's going to try to work it out for you. So you better get sweet, right? Be sweet. I'm going to stop right there with you. Well, let me just look. I'm right here. 2 Corinthians, we need to hit this. 2 Corinthians 1, your flesh wants to go, but your spirit says, no, you need to hear this. If I wrote it down on that paper, it's not trouble. It's not trouble. 2 Corinthians 1, the clock's my trouble. Take care of that clock for me, Daniel. I need a Roman numeral clock because I can't read Roman numerals. I can get to about 4 or 5 and that's it. Get me one of them, Larry. Can you find me a Roman numeral clock, Larry? See, I can't read past 5, so we start at 10, so I'll get you back to 1. I know where 1 is. Verses 18 through 24. But as God is faithful, God is faithful. Say with me, God is faithful. Our word to you was not yes and no concerning God. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, by Timothy, by Silvanus, was not yes and no. But in him was yes, period. In Christ, yes. For all the promises, and we said this before, of God in him, in Christ Jesus, God put all the promises in his Son. All those promises are in him. Are yes. And in him, so be it. To the glory of God through us. God gets the glory. God said, my word will not return unto me void. But it shall go, and it shall accomplish where I sent it. And it shall bring back me the fruit that I deserve. Because right the verse before it says, as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and causes it to bud, spring forth, and give fruit. God says, so is my word. If it goes forth and you put it in your heart, it will accomplish and take care of that trouble. If you'll trust me and believe me and see the fruit of it. Because Jesus said, if you're my disciples indeed, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Trouble. Free from trouble. Jesus is the truth. He's the way. He's the life. Free from trouble. A life free. Does anybody want a life free from trouble? Amen. You got Jesus, you're free. Amen. But are you going to have trouble? We deny it to be in my house. Is this my house? No, this is God's house. It's a big house. Get some of y'all waking up here. It's a big house. My body is a temple of the Lord. Amen. That's what the Bible says. This is God's house. Amen. And he also says, now glorify me in your house. Take care of your house. I'll take care of your trouble. Amen. Take care of your house. Amen. We do our part. God does his part. We're supposed to do things decently in order with our bodies. Take care of it. Because we want to live those long promises that Moses, when we get to 120, that our life force is not even debated. Man, my eyes, I've got eyes that are weak, but the Bible says they shouldn't be. So see, I've got things I need to work on in my area, in my body, in my faith. Keep believing God, trusting God. Wake up one morning, it'll look worse when I put my glasses on because I won't need them anymore. See, keep hanging on to the promises of Him. Or yes and amen.
Amen.
He gave sight to the blind. Why can't He heal those that are sight? And Terry, thank you for talking about that this morning, because this is going to be a message talking about the sun and the light. I woke up 4 o'clock Saturday morning just preaching, just ready to just get up and preach, 4 o'clock. But He was showing me about a camera, how that a camera, this is going to be a message later, how that a camera, when it takes a picture, the sunlight comes in and it puts that image on, this is the old cameras, it puts it on film. Darkness was there, but the light came in, created an image, put it on the film. Then you got to take it to a dark room and put chemicals and make it come to light. Man, there's so much in that. Jesus creates an image on the inside of us when we were in darkness. When we get born again, we are changed, created in Him. That when light came in, there was an image that was created. When Jesus came in, He recreated my born-again spirit. I'm not the same person I used to be. I've been created in Christ Jesus. Amen? Separated from trouble. He separated me from trouble. He put the dividing line right there. He drew a line in the sand, Reed. I'm separating you from this trouble. So I was separated from God before. But Christ came in and destroyed that separation line and gave me new life. But He separated me from all that trouble. Separated me from the kingdom of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of His dear Son. Into light. Away from trouble. Far, far away from trouble. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes. I'm speaking to trouble this morning. God, You have given me this message for a specific time and season. And Lord, it's not by coincidence that You told me to talk about trouble. But Lord, not only did You tell me to show the people what trouble was, but You told me to give them what the answer to that trouble is, and that's Your Son, Jesus Christ. So right now, by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus, I take authority over trouble. Trouble that's came in unwanted, undeserved. I command that trouble to cease right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, I command you to take your trouble and take it out of their lives right now. As far as the east is from the west, you have no authority to rule or reign in the children of God. They submit to God, they resist You, and I come in agreement with them now that trouble has to flee. Financial trouble has to flee. Health divisions in their body, chemicals that are not operating right in their minds, in their bodies, I command it to flee. I command it to come normal right now in the name of Jesus. Yes. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You have delivered us from such great trouble. And Father, I just thank You right now for the peace of God, for Your peace right now that covers Your children right now, for the glory of God right now that's just covering them with peace and stability. Lord, I speak to trouble in families, to children and grandchildren right now, Lord. We command that trouble to leave in the name of Jesus. We command Your peace into those situations right now, Father. We command those storms to cease in the name of Jesus. That Jesus, You came to give us life and that more abundantly. And I release abundant life to You right now by faith in Your Word. That all things are possible to those that believe. Lord, we're in a believer. This is the believer's boat today. We're in a believer's boat. And we're going to the other side. We're getting out of trouble and we're going to the other side. We're walking in the blessings of the Lord all the days of our life, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.